The views and opinions expressed by individuals on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of the network, Guys Guy Radio, and its platforms. It's Guys Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manny.
Welcome to Guys Guys Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the show where men and women can be at their best and everyone wins, Guys Guys Radio. We're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. And once again, this week is no exception. Today we're going to talk about Nordic mysticism with special guest Kadrick Olson. He's an author, speaker, and spiritual guide, and his specialty is really all about the Norse culture. And I think you're going to really enjoy the show. We're going to get into shadow work and runes. If you know what runes are, those little tablets that have symbols on them that you kind of pick out of a rune bag, and they give you some insights as to who you are, what you are, and where you're going. And it's going to be a lot of fun because the whole Viking culture, if you will, and the Nordic culture, we really don't talk about that too much. And that was there for Western culture. That's one of the earliest cultures ever. And there's so much to learn, and there's so much things that we get wrong about the Viking culture and the Nordic culture. And Kadrick's here to help us out with that, and also how to kind of work with energy and kind of work on our inner selves and to kind of help us find out who we really are by working with our shadow self. A lot of times we block off areas of our persona, if you will, because we don't want to look there. We want to go forward and away from some of the things that we may have done or may have bothered us, or things about ourselves that we don't like or feel comfortable with. But we really need to approach that stuff and work through it if we really want to make the breakthroughs to become who we really are. And Kadrick is an expert on that. We're going to get into all of that today. He also works with a collective called the Whisperers, and he's been working with them since he was a kid. And they're going to come on the show today, and I'm going to ask them some questions that hopefully will help all of us out in terms of all the stuff that's going on in the world today, and should we be concerned, and what we can do to really live our best lives and our most authentic lives based on all the crazy stuff happening in the world today. So, Guys Guys Radio, I think we've got a great show, and I can't wait to get started with a new guest on Guys Guys Radio, Kadrick Olson.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If you see the letters AIDA, do you immediately think of the opera by Verdi? AIDA is also an advertising acronym for those iconic Mad Men days. A is for attention, I is for interest, D is for desire, A is for action. This process is a timeless truism for making a sale. Fortunately, if your product or service is health-related, we can offer you guaranteed access to a global audience with a high interest in health, healthy lifestyle, and contemporary well-being. UKHealthRadio.com has a regular monthly audience of around 1.5 million health-conscious people. And Health Triangle, its award-winning monthly magazine, has around 20,000 paying subscribers. Find out more about both at UKHealthRadio.com. Let's all put health first.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena Sensitive Care Pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena Sensitive Care Pads with the skin comfort formula online and in stores now.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, Guys Guys Radio, it is the interview portion of our show, and I'm delighted to welcome a new guest to Guys Guys Radio. His name is Kadrick Olson. And let me tell you a little bit about him. He's the author. He's an author, speaker, and spiritual guide specializing in Norse mysticism and runic wisdom. And we're going to get into that today because we're going to talk about runes for those of you who are aware of them. But for more than three decades, Kadrick has taught how the runes function as living intelligences, gateways for transmuting shadow, awakening the higher mind, and aligning with the powers of gods and ancestors. Kadrick's lifelong path weaves together Norse studies, paranormal exploration, and shadow work. He was raised in a haunted home and trained in seance and channeling. Kadrick developed an early communion with advanced beings known as the Whisperers, and we're going to invite them onto the show today, maybe ask them a few questions. And the Whisperers are a collective that grants Kadrick rare insights into the afterlife and also the interplay of the unseen. Now, this foundation allows Kadrick to guide seekers through shadow work, spirit communication, and ancestral practices with both sacred depth and practical clarity. Kadrick wrote the book Runes for Transformation, and he's been featured all over Gaia TV and so many other podcasts across social media. It's the first time on our show. We're going to talk about things like shadow work, the afterlife, paranormal protection, Norse runes, and we may even talk a little bit about men's sacred power and the return of the wild masculine if we have time. If not, we'll do another show. But welcome to Guys Radio, Kadrick Olson.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here, and I'm really looking forward to our conversation. This is going to be great.
Me too. Thank you. And, you know, just for so everybody out there knows, we tried this yesterday because we do some of the shows pre-recorded, and we had on Kadrick's end, we had some type of internet shortage. And then on my side, right in the middle of our interview, my computer went poof, which it's never done. In over 800 interviews, I had issues with the files. We had issues getting on today. My cat started running around with a big fluffy tail. So we don't know if there's any type of entities working with us or working against us, but we're going to work right through it. Right, Kadrick?
Absolutely. We're going to make this magic happen.
So let's get to the beginning. Let's start at the beginning today. And that is, you grew up in Colorado in a quote unquote haunted house that seemed like it was like, to me, it reminds me of the Addams Family or the Munsters, where, and I say this respectfully, yes, because you had a lot of paranormal stuff going on that seemed commonplace. Seances, channeling, you had entities, knocks on the door, lights going on and off. And it seemed like commonplace for your parents and yourself. Now, you have a brother and sister. I think you had mentioned to me that your sister was a little bit freaked by this, but I don't know what happened with your brother in terms of that. But for you, what was it like growing up in this type of household?
It was almost a little bit confusing because, of course, you know, I grew up knowing spirits were around everywhere. You know, you could see the TV dial change from across the room. Radios would turn on, footsteps up and down the hallway. To me, that was, I guess that was normal, but my sister was a little freaked out by it. She was pretty scared by it. But to me, I got curious about it. My brother almost completely denied it. You know, he turned out to be a doctor, and he's just, he wants to be in denial about these things. But when I talk to him and his wife and they start talking about some of these things, they say it freaks them out because it just how real it really is. And that kind of scares them. And then they shut it down and they go back to their materialist world and
cognitive dissonance, like what's going on in our culture right now, where people, the truth that might be there is so, would shatter so many people's beliefs that they refuse to acknowledge it because it will put them in a very uncomfortable position. Was it kind of like that?
Exactly. That's exactly it. Because he just couldn't handle that something was outside of the scientific realm. My sister's scared of it. My parents, they embraced it. They loved it. You know, they took us to a spiritualist church. You know, I remember going there very young age, very, very young. They took a little time out to go to a Lutheran church for a while because I tried to be normal. But when I started telling them the experiences I was having, the communication I was having, and the things that were going on, they're like, nope, we got to go back because our kid's tuned in, our kid's seeing things. He needs, you know, some guidance on what to do. So we went back to the spiritualist church, and that's where it was finally, I was around people that knew what was going on, that were familiar with the phenomena that I was experiencing. And there were still a couple people in that church that were a little freaked out by it. And they're like, oh, children shouldn't be exposed to this. I'm like, well, but now as an adult, I'm like, how can you prevent it when you're living in this house? You can't help it. So it really helped to balance the dichotomy I was facing, because I've always loved horror movies. You know, unfortunately, I saw The Exorcist at 7 years old, and that left me like a zombie for 3 days. But I used to watch some of these old shows, and their stories are so compelling. And as a kid, you can't tell that that's not true. And so it was really hard for me to really discern, because these shows were so scary. They were so convincing, but the things going on in the house and around me weren't. And my parents weren't freaked out by it. They were like, yeah, of course the TV changed channel. Of course the footsteps. They kind of laughed at it. They sort of embraced it. And that actually was comforting to me as a kid, because my parents weren't freaked out by it. They were open to it, and they kind of thought it was a fun thing. Mm-hmm. And that helped me to go, okay, yeah, this could be fun too. So it took a little while to balance out that.
Now, do you think when you talk about horror movies, the horror movies when we were growing up were a little bit less chaotic, if you will, and ultra-violent than they are now? Do you think there is a real difference there? I mean, the storytelling is very good in both. They use classic templates for that. But some of the, you know, the uses of violence and stuff, it's like really over the top across our media. And do you think, one, has it changed? And because I don't watch a lot of horror movies. I watched stuff like The Exorcist and all of that, like once in a while. And I was like, wow. But now I see some of the things that they're putting out there, and it seems like, wow, this is a bit much for kids. What's your position on and thoughts about that? And also, do you think that there are any doors open to energies that might not be positive coming in when it gets to the point with the horror movies where they're so over the top that it seems a little bit intrusive in terms of our psyche?
Yeah, I think the movies always have to keep one-upping themselves. You know, they keep having to boost it, because I remember when I was a kid and I would watch some of the old Universal horror movies, you know, the Dracula and the Frankenstein, the Wolfman.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They were amusing. They were kind of fun. Yeah. But when I was a kid and Nightmare on Elm Street came out, that scared the heck out of me. I was a little freaked out for a little bit after that. But then when my kids saw Nightmare on Elm Street at the same age that I did, they're like, what, this scared you? This is stupid. And I'm like, come on. And I think it's a lot of our culture today is based on super stimulus. When we look around, there's just so much stimulation going on. Even if you're watching the news, there's like the news broadcaster, then there's the ticker tape of headlines going on underneath.
Breaking news, right?
Yeah, we're just overstimulated. And I think as a culture, we've gotten programmed into that. So the movies just up it. They just keep upping that stimulation factor. And that means adding in the special effects, and that adds in the violence. You know, when they do a remake of an old movie that was kind of used to freak us out, now you're right, it's all chaotic and there's just so much going on. And I think it's just because the audiences today are now used to having so much stimulation going on. I'm just curious what the next step is. Mm-hmm. And for opening portals, absolutely. Whenever we buy in to the fear-based narrative, we are setting up the energy within ourselves. I've got 10 rules of interacting with the paranormal. And the first and most primary is similarities attract and perpetuate. Now, that means if you're in a fear state and you've got a lot of scary stuff going on around you and you're freaked out, you're putting out a fear energy. And that fear energy can create thought forms, which basically feed off of that, and they perpetuate that fear energy in you. It can draw other entities in that are going to keep promoting that fear state. And that is one of the biggest causes of paranormal problems that I've seen with clients and people over the years, is they created it. Mm-hmm. Because it may have been just grandma popping by for a visit. It may have been like a little kid, curious and playful, but because of the horror movies and because of the paranormal investigator shows and all of the TV shows, they were programmed, oh, this is a ghost in my house. It must be a demon. It's out after me. It's going to get me. They start generating the fear. They create the thought form, and it creates what I call a compound haunting, meaning there may be an actual spirit there that's just a person, you know, just a benevolent, everyday person. But the person is so freaked out by it, they're creating the thought form, they're creating the energies, they're attracting other entities in, and they've compounded their situation. And I help people gain a different perspective of what's going on. I call it the compassion shift. Instead of going, oh my God, what are you going to do to me? You say, oh, do you need help? How can I help you? And that completely shifts the energy from fear to compassion. And I've seen it dramatically lower and drop any negative paranormal activity almost immediately.
Now, do you think, Kadrick, that some of this is propagated by the, you know, by Hollywood, where they put it out there to create this fear in kids who aren't as level-headed as you are and you were, and then whoever can feed off of that loosh, I guess you call it. Right. Is that, you think, is there something behind that that's being driven to create that type of energy that can feed whoever?
That, I do think there's part of that going on. It's kind of an interesting feedback loop. I think we started it, and then that drew in, some people call it the Archons, the Norse would call it the Thurs. We call it these beings by various names. But yeah, they thrive off of our fear. They thrive off of our aggression and hostility. And they do know how to influence the people that can influence the narrative. And that isn't just Hollywood, but that's media. Like, if you watch just the news, I remember a newscast one time talking about some medication where a child recently died. But after these commercials, find out if yours is next. I'm like, come on. You just said something about tens of thousands of people take this medication every day. Right. One child died, but now your kid's next. That's breathing that fear into it. And these beings can influence vast swaths of population just by the narrative and gets them to do stupid things to each other just to help promote that loosh. And even if you bring peacekeepers in, well, what are they doing? They're just fighting and they're bringing in more weapons, and that's just generating more loosh. So those beings that are feeding off a loosh are a little bit harder to get around. We have to do more of a societal shift from the inside. We have to do our inner work individually so we can affect the collective. There's just no way to go after these beings that are feeding off of loosh and generating loosh. We have to change ourselves to sort of poison the well from the inside out.
Great. My special guest on Guys Guys Radio, Kadrick Olson, a Norse kind of spiritual advisor and guide. So in your household, your name is Olson, so you have obviously a Scandinavian background. How did you get introduced to the whole Norse culture and going back to the runes, the beginning of the ruins, and kind of Viking mythology and et cetera?
Yeah, my parents, the basement that I grew up in, my parents' house, it was a library. Any kind of book you wanted, it was just like rows and rows of books and shelves everywhere on anything. There was encyclopedias, there were books on magic. And I remember getting a hold of Manly P. Hall's Secret Teachings of All Ages. And I was just fascinated by that. You know, I may have been like 11 or 12 years old when I found that book, and I was just reading it. And I realized that as he's describing these traditions in the mystery schools, that they're all basically saying the same thing. They're just using different imagery, different words, different. And I was starting to understand a little bit about science at that time. And I said, okay, I need a control group. I need one foundation so I can understand it from myself. And then I can really get a good beat on this. And it was at that time I was listening to some crazy music coming out of England, a band called Savit. And I was reading a book called The Way of Weird by Brian Bates. And I found Ralph Blum's book, The Book of Runes. And all of those pieces just fit into place. And I'm like, this is it. That's my control group. I'm going to dive into the Norse. I'm going to learn the runes. And I did. I went deep into it. I not only learned about the runes, but I was reading all the Eddas, the sagas, all of the scholarly literature that comes up that was describing things. I got so deep into it that I was translating some of the Old Norse poetry for myself. So I've got some of the...
It's amazing.
So I have that insight to what is going on, what their words were, what their thinking was directly from the language. And then it dawned on me, this wasn't like a special thing for them. This wasn't like something you just do once in a while, then you're done with it. This was what they lived with. They lived it, they breathed it, they were it. This wasn't like go to church on Sunday and then go do whatever you want the rest of the week. This was their lifestyle. This wasn't, they didn't have a word for what they believed in or what they followed, because that was just the way they existed. And it was an integral part of their practical reality. So I said, how can we take what they understood, put it in a modern context, and use it today instead of just theory or just something kind of neat or watching on TV or playing costume Viking or whatever? How do we apply it to today's world? And that's been the bulk of my work, is not overtly going out and saying, here's Norse stuff, but here are the tools to achieve those goals. Here are those tools to make the changes in your life that you want. Here are the tools to increase your performance in your world.
That's fantastic. What are, from your studies, what do you think that people, what did you learn that you weren't aware of about the Vikings, if you will, and the whole Nordic culture? And what do people need to know that's different than what we usually refer to in our own mythology and culture? Like the Vikings, they're big, strong fighters, and they came over in these small ships. Maybe they got to America, Newfoundland, places like that before anybody else. They were all conquering. They drank their mead. They were like manly men. And what is it that we get wrong, and what is it that we need to know? Because it sounds like they were very spiritual and were self-aware and were respectful of the gods, if you will, of energy.
Absolutely. That's one of the things we have to have some cultural relativity to. Every culture on the planet at that time, 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, during the Iron Age, even the Bronze Age, were violent cultures. Every single one of them. Everybody was, no matter if they were Celt or Roman or Norse, whatever. Everybody was violent. The thing that helped the Norse people get a leg up on everything is they invented boats that only took on a few inches of water. So they could move very quickly, but these boats could go not only across seas, but they could go up rivers, and they could go in quickly. And their raiding was not as big as we think it is. They definitely did raiding, but they just had this technological advantage for the time. But the downside is they didn't write at that time. They didn't write so much about themselves. They had more oral stories that they just told to each other. But the people that they did raid, the people that they did colonize and work with, were able to write, and they wrote the exaggerated stories. They just really inflated these stories up to a magnanimous amount, which the archaeology doesn't support. So when we really look into some of these tales, what we find is these Vikings, these Norsemen, not everybody did this. It was just a part-time summer job just for a handful of people, just a few people. Okay. Most people stayed at home, tended to the farm, because a farm was the pinnacle of living. And the people who went on these maritime adventures were out to seek enough money so they could buy a farm and settle someplace. That's all they really wanted, was just to settle and have their own life. And all of the stories tell us that they were not these big, ugly, burly, grubby, dirty savages, that they were actually very well kept. They were clean. They wore glass beads, silk shirts. There was even a Christian monk, I think it was. I forgot what he was, but he was describing the Danes as being so awful that they bathe regularly and they keep their hair clean and they smell so well in order to steal our women away from us. And there's in one of the sagas where it says that a good man should know how to use a sword or an axe, but also should be able to compose poetry. Wow. Because poetry was a big part of their lifestyle. But now today we think, oh, look at this pansy reading poetry. But that was a big part of the Norse lifestyle. That was their entertainment.
That is amazing. I don't think people are aware of that at all, Kadric.
Not at all. And when we say what happened to the Vikings, what happened to the Viking era, look at, the Scandinavian world now, it's not because they lost. It's actually because they won. Where they went to, where they settled, where they colonized, they integrated with the cultures, they led those cultures. So we have places like Dublin, Ireland, most of the UK. Mm-hmm. We've got Ukraine, Belarus, Russia. All of these places were started by Norse people. These are all Viking settlements that created these countries. So in a sense, they won by creating their own countries, their own places, and integrated with the populace. And even now in our culture today, Monday is Moon Day, but Tuesday is Tyr's Day, named after the Norse god Tyr. Mm-hmm. Wednesday is Woden's Day, after Odin. Thursday, Thor's Day. Friday, Frigg's Day, Freya's Day. So the Norse is actually already embedded in our culture. The runes are part of our alphabet, part of our words. So even today, we are sort of a living representation of the legacy of the Viking era in today's Western world.
That is absolutely amazing. You know, I had the pleasure of visiting Norway on a cruise. My mother-in-law wanted to take the family on a cruise a couple of years ago, and we went through all the fjords, and it was absolutely stunningly beautiful. I've never seen anything like it. And interesting, though, we went in the summer, and it rained the whole time, but it was still gorgeous. And the people were wonderful, and the food was wonderful, and it was just an amazing place. And I worked with the folks from Finland on Finlandia Vodka many years ago in my advertising career, and really wonderful people also. And I also worked at Volvo, the Swedish car company, and worked with all the Swedes there for about 5 years when I got out of college, and great experience also. So I think people should get to Scandinavia as fast as they can if they want to really have a great vacation and really see beautiful, beautiful landscapes. Wonderful.
Absolutely. I spent a couple of weeks in Norway about a year ago, and suddenly I understood to a degree I hadn't before Edvard Grieg's music. I understood Dimmu Borgir. I understood a lot of this Norwegian music. They're playing the landscape. The landscape is just epic.
Yeah.
It's huge. And the thing that surprised me the most is all of my years of study, reading the folklore, reading the legends, I am, even though I'm open-minded and mystical and connected with the paranormal, I'm always skeptical. Meaning somebody calls me up and tells me that the lights are flickering on in their house. My first question is, well, what did the electrician say about that? You need an electrician. And so when I'm reading this folklore, my brain is going, okay, they're just trying to interpret natural phenomena by anthropomorphizing these forces and kind of giving them human traits. And when I was there, I said, nope, I was wrong. No. These things are very real. The land spirits, the dwarves, the giants, the trolls, they are all very real. They're here. I've experienced them firsthand, personally. They're there. And I'm like, I get it now. The folklore is actually conveying real life experiences about what these entities are, what these beings are.
Now, you're a spiritual guide, and you have a lot of you're in touch with your energy and the energy around the world, particularly from the statement you just made, and the home you grew up in. Your parents were into it also. They were, you know, they were nonplussed by the spirits that were around them. Was this something that ran in your family prior to that? And do you think these type of things come from our ancestors in a familiar line?
I wish I could answer that better. My family has always been kind of disjointed. I think I met my dad's brothers one time, my mom's sister one time. My grandparents were dead before I was born, basically. So, and even today, we're just kind of a loose family. We don't talk much to each other. You know, I've done some ancestry.com exploration, and I've seen, you know, I had a great grandfather moved here right from Skåne, Sweden. So I've got that. And my father's side also, they're from the German. My mother's side is all from the UK area, but
okay.
I wish I knew better.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's talk about runes a little bit and their significance. So I bought runes about 15 years ago, and I started using them. And for the people who are unaware, there's these little tablets and they have symbols on them. I'm holding them up for our friends on YouTube and Rumble to see them. Here's another one. And each one of these symbols has a meaning. And you can pull out one of these during a day, or you could lay them out in certain sequences. And you can also do kind of a life overview. And you're supposed to pick out, I believe, about five of them. And you'd only do that once. So talk to us a little about the significance of the runes. And your book is, again, The Runes for Transformation by Red Wheel Wiser Publications. Talk to us about runes, Kadrick.
Absolutely. At its most basic form, runes are actually the written language of the Proto-Norse and the Old Norse languages. They didn't put them on little tablets like that. They carved them on big rune stones. They carved them on shipping tags. They put them on jewelry. They're the runes as a written language. Like if you were to see a rune stone written 1,000 years ago with words like sister, mother, father, brother, you would need very little instruction to be able to read those words because they were pronounced the same way over 1,000 years ago as they are today and written almost exactly the same. And even in our alphabet, letters like S, I, T, B, R, C, they all come from the runes and words that we use today. The word year comes from the rune yera. The word day comes from the rune dagaz. So runes at the basic level are their language. Their little written language, and there are thousands of runestones all over Scandinavia, into mainland Europe, even into Turkey. The Hagia Sophia has runes carved on the floor that basically is when Sven was here.
Yep.
But beyond that, runes are also transformational tools, because every rune has a letter, every rune has an energy to it, and they were used for helping with sickness, helping with childbirth, increasing prosperity, increasing the abundance of the land. And the thing about it is runes were sung. It's a form of magic called Galdur. It's a lot like sound healing and sound manifestation today, like the work of Jonathan Goldman with frequency plus intention equals manifestation.
Yep.
Well, that's what the runes were. So if you wanted to boost your personal strength, your inner vitality, you would call upon the rune Urus. Think about the strength of an aurochs, like a bison. And then you would just sing Urus, 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 and build that up into a more power sense. Now, today we use runes for like divination, kind of like tarot cards. But there's no evidence that the Old Norse people ever did that with runes. There's no archaeology. There's no literature. But I don't doubt that it works. It's still effective in today's world. It's just when we go back to the Old Norse time, it was a written language. It was a transformative tool. They were sung. Amulets were created. Poetry was sung about runes. And it was an integral part of their mystical spiritual life that they would work with on a daily basis.
That said, Kadric, can we pick one out for today? Should
sure.
I do that? Okay. So I'll just reach in. I got my bag here, and it's 21 of them. And they all have a different symbol, and then there's a blank, correct?
Well, the blank one was invented by Ralph Blum.
Okay.
There's 24 runes in the Elder Futhark, but Ralph Blum added a 25th one, so he could do it 5 rows of 5, but traditionally they're 3 rows of 8.
This is what I've got.
Kenaz. Yeah, Kenaz is the fire of the forge. It's the creative spirit. It's about creativity, making things, tapping into your skill and your talent so that you can bring those together to forge new things. You know, whether it's objects that you create with your hand or podcasts or any sort of thing like that. It's about using your creative ability to make things and bring new things into the world.
As we are doing now. So how do you use them on a daily basis, Kadric?
Great. That's a great way to look at it. The way I have understood the runes to be from the literature and from working with the whisperers is that the runes are in everything, everywhere, all the time. For example, the rune Fehu, it looks like the letter F. It's where we get the letter F from. And it basically means money or value. So let's say I've got this crystal on hand.
Okay.
The Fehu of this crystal initially is what I paid for it. But as it's been with me over time, as I've used it, as I've had it, as it's been here, it now has a deeper intrinsic value to me. That's still Fehu. And that's kind of like an external Fehu. But then when we look inward and go, what is my Fehu? What is my value? What is the value that I bring to the world? And we can take a really good look at that. And if we have an inner feeling about ourselves, like, well, it's not that good. It's just not that great. I don't bring much to the world. Well, then we can sing that rune, Fehu, and we can focus on things that you've done, the things that you've achieved, the successes you've had, the skills and talents that you do have, and start to enhance that Fehu. So as you're singing Fehu, you're building up your own intrinsic value of yourself, your inner opinion of yourself with that Fehu. And because similarities attract and perpetuate, as you boost that Fehu in yourself, you're going to see that reflected back in the world around you. People will treat you as a higher value. You'll get more respect. You'll get even more income and more money because you're projecting a higher value out to the world. And people will perceive that, and the world will reflect that back to you. So I work with people to address these different runic issues inside themselves, connect with that rune so that they can shift the runes around them. And then we basically are singing runes, tuning into the runes, and shifting runic energies all over the place to make the world more in alignment with their authentic self.
Okay, fascinating. And it seems like the goal of all of this work, as in all spiritual, quote unquote, work, is to not become something new, but to kind of peel back and rediscover who we really are.
Exactly. Getting to your authentic self is at the heart of all of this work. Because we came into this world with a purpose. Our higher self said, ooh, I want to have these experiences in my life. But things get in the way when we're growing up. You know, family says you have to be like this, you have to act like this. This is what the truth of the world is. The teachers, the culture, the society that we're in shape us and mold us. And when we're children, we have no choice. You know, that first 20 years of our life, we have no choice but to adapt, to fit in. It's a survival thing. And then when we get in the next 20 years of our life, we start to question that. We start to see other perspectives. We start to figure out, no, this isn't me. That isn't me. So we start doing our shift. But then when we get to our 40s, we're like, okay, I've made this shift. This is where I'm at. I'm going to create my world for myself. And that's where shadow work comes in. So we start to address those things that worked for us as a kid, that worked for us as growing up to help us fit in. But now they're blocks, they're hindrances. They stop us from going where we need to go because it's not who we are authentically. So we address those shadows. We look at those shadows. We transmute their energy. We find out what they really mean so that we can start living authentically. And runes are a critical part of that in my work, to address, oh, here's the shadow that it can be represented by this rune. Let's understand that rune, go into it. Let's really feel that energy, feel what that shadow is. Now, what is its opposite? This is why I don't work with reverse runes, is because there's like no reverse letter R, no reverse letter S, same way in the Old Norse. But if somebody is like in a scarcity mindset, they're like, I don't have this, I don't have that, what am I going to do? That's Nauthes, the rune of need, the constraint. And the opposite would be Wunyo. Here's what you do have. Have that gratitude, that the things that you did achieve, and let's focus more on that Wunyo. Still be aware of the Nauthes. Still be aware of the things that you need to have, the things that need to fall into place and work with. But now let's focus on what you do have, what is working for you, and you'll start to get more of that. And then that Wunyo will displace that Nauthes energy, and you'll be in a more Wunyo lifestyle.
Got it. Fascinating. Kadric Olson, Norse spiritual teacher, is our guest on Guys Guys Radio. Now, I want to, and thank you for mentioning shadow work, because I was holding that because I want to get to the Whisperers. Now, you work with a collective called the Whisperers. Who are they? When did they first come to you? And can we speak with them today?
Absolutely. They first came to me when I was a kid in elementary school playing on the playground. I even remember being kind of weirded out that the other kids were playing games with their imaginary friends, that they were having fun and doing normal kid things. But my whisperers, my imaginary friends at that time, I didn't quite understand what they were. They were teaching me about energies and spiritual beings and layers of reality, stuff that, I mean, what's a kid supposed to be doing learning that kind of stuff? But they were always there teaching me. And over the years of working with them, I realized that, like you said, they're a collective of beings or a group of beings. Some used to be human, some were never human. Today, a majority of them are like amorphous conscious beings. There's nothing to them but consciousness and energy. They just don't have a shape. And they communicate in a very nonlinear, abstract language, which then gets interpreted through me as to what they're saying. And every time I'm with clients and every time I'm teaching a class, I invite them in. I invite the clients' guides in to help communicate. And so, you know, even today, the Whisperers were in and I like just checked in. I'm like, would you want to talk? And they're like, gave me this feeling of happiness and joy. And it came kind of with a message, as you know, we love to talk through you. We love to share this message stuff through you.
Well, let's bring them on.
Heck yeah. They're here.
Okay. Well, welcome, Whisperers. And thank you so much for joining us. What is our audience? What do we need to know right now? Because there's so much anxiety out there, and it seems like we could be on the precipice of a new, better world, but we may have to go through some tough times to get there. It seems to be what a lot of people are saying. But bottom line, what should people feel, and what should they know right now?
You know, when you look in your mind and you're aware of your thoughts, sometimes you have so many thoughts that they're clouding what you want to be paying attention to, what you want to focus on. So many people say they have a difficult time meditating because their thoughts just keep running and running and running and running. Well, that's exactly what you're experiencing with all of your media. It's just noise. It's just your thoughts running and running and running. Think of all of that messaging that's out there, all of those narratives is just like the noise of your mind. And what if you could use that noise to find a central quiet place of your mind? Focus on all of those thoughts, focus on all of those feelings, and just be aware of them. Don't engage, but just be aware. and develop that inner awareness of your thoughts, develop that inner awareness of your feelings. Now reflect that skill back out to the world. When you see all of that noise, just be aware of it. Think of it as just a layer of noise, a layer of distortion. It's not even the truth. There are some elements of truth in there, and there are things that you can't ignore that you still need to pay attention to. But remember, it's just a layer of noise. But when you connect to other people, when you connect to the collective unconscious, when you connect to your authenticity, you'll find that quiet place in all of humanity, everywhere. 8 billion people want to live. 8 billion people want to thrive and love their families. There are a handful of people out there that want different for their own goals and means, but that's okay. That's their path. And believe it or not, that's their path to influence you. Without this dynamic opposition that you're facing, you would have no need to grow. You would have no need to advance your thoughts. You would have no need to find that quiet place amid all the noise. So we allow that noise to happen. We allow that to go on because it's part of your dynamic growth process. You need to not push back against it, but use that energy to move forward. In a sense, don't hate the message. Don't hate the messengers. Just be aware of them. Know that they exist, and then do your work for yourself. It's not selfish to do your work for yourself. It's needed. That's why you're here. And the more that you do the work for yourself, the more you are influencing the collective unconscious of all of humanity, enabling their growth, enabling them to see all of that narrative as just noise, but to find that quiet place within, and to find that quiet place within all of humanity.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you, Whispers. Let me ask a personal question. Now, we touched on this yesterday, but again, our recording went someplace, but we don't have it. And you had mentioned, I asked the question was, what do I need to know right now? And am I on the right path? And it seemed like the takeaway was, you're getting joy for what you're doing. Aren't you happier now doing what you're doing versus what you were doing before? The answer is yes. And look for, there's an underlying connection, I believe you mentioned, to everything. And I'm wondering, where do I look for that? And what might that be? And am I on the right track in terms of tapping into that?
Yeah. And in fact, even one of your guides is coming through on this one. And it's interesting. I remember we talked about the confusion, so many things going on, but it's finding that underlying arc, that current that runs mm-hmm. through all of right. those things. But this guide of yours is coming through and saying to trust yourself even more. Know that you're doing the right thing, that you're on the right path. You know it because that passion you're feeling, that energy that you feel when you do it, that rush, that good feeling, that is called alignment. He's telling you that's called alignment. Alignment with your purpose, alignment with your authenticity. That is what higher being, your higher being came in here to do, came in to be an influential voice to help shift that collective. So trust that you're doing the right thing because you are. And in a weird sense, he's kind of saying, have this, the word's not faith, but just like this acceptance that you're doing the right thing. Don't even doubt it. Just go and do it because, there's some pieces and parts falling into place. When we have some people that are sometimes spontaneous, they're jumping out and doing things, we think it's coming from their ego. Ego's not a bad thing, but they're actually coming from artificially inflated self-aggrandizement. And so we tend to see these people and go, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be those people. And when we do that, we're locking ourselves into a smaller place because we say, I don't want to be that. I don't want to be seen like that. But the answer is trust yourself that you are doing the right thing for the right reasons and that you can let yourself do that because you're not doing it for self-aggrandizement, for whatever the word is, you're not being selfish about it. You're doing it for other people. So trust that you're doing the right thing for the right reason and that you deserve to make that next step. You deserve to grow this because these people will always be there putting out their messages, putting out that noise. And if they are left uncontested, they were going to keep going. Mm-hmm. So trust that you're doing the right thing and be willing to contest that noise because you're needed.
Thank you. Thank you, Whispers. Wow, amazing. So we're just at the time frame. We're running out of time. And I want to thank the Whispers for being here. So thank you so much for helping us today. Well, Kadric Olsen, thank you so much for being on Guys Guys Radio. I hope we come back because there's so many other topics I want to talk about, the afterlife, paranormal protection, men's sacred power, etc. So I hope we can do it again, but this is a great conversation, and thank you, and thank the Whispers.
You're very welcome. This is great. I'm looking forward to our future conversations.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list? Then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano, flat white, macchiato.
Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street, you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle magazine on the UKHealthRadio.com website. Just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month.
Let's all put health first.
The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, that was an amazing and fun conversation with Kadric Olsen about Norse culture, his upbringing, Kadric's upbringing in a haunted house, and also how to work with runes, and working with the collective that he works with, the Whisperers. So I think we got some good insights there. So what did we learn today? I think we learned that we get a lot of stuff about the Nordic and the Viking culture wrong, that they weren't just a bunch of savages, that they had a real culture, and most of it was agrarian farmers, and they had very special boats that allowed them to make pinpoint their warriors to make pinpoint attacks on places, and that it wasn't all about violence, but, you know, culture way back then, wherever you are, was violent, but the Nordic culture spread wherever they conquered. They integrated with the native people, and the whole area of Scandinavia, as well as the British Isles, has so much of Nordic culture embedded in it. We also talked a little bit about the ruins and how to work with them and how to read them. And the Kadric's got a book that we talked about ruins. So I would urge you to check that out. It's called Runes, once again, Runes for Transformation. And you can also, beyond Guys Guys Radio, Kadric is on Gaia TV all the time. He's been on with Regina Meredith and George Norrie and some of the other folks there. So just good to learn more and more about Kadric. And I guess the other thing that we learned was about the shadow work, which we talked about earlier, about really we need to work through some of the things that are holding us back that we may not want to look into, parts of ourselves that are uncomfortable. And to really get to who we really are, back to our authentic self, we've got to work through some of the things that make us uncomfortable. So this is the first of what I hope will be a couple of conversations with Kadric on Guys Guys Radio, because I think he's a terrific guy, and he's a guy's guy. I think he's authentic, and he was really fun to talk to, and I learned a lot, and I hope you guys did also, because we try to bring a lot of ideas and different modalities to the table here at Guys Guys Radio, and then we leave it up to you to determine, hey, I want to learn more, or, you know what, that's interesting, but maybe not for me. But you take it from there. That's up to you. I bring you the information, and you run with it or not. That's what we do here on Guys Guys Radio. Okay, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Guys Guys Radio on UK Health Radio. We're back next week with another great show. And until then, like I always say, guys, finish first.